1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 to begin with. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to be able to come together and share your word and just soak up of your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for being in our midst today. We thank you for the things that you've done already today, Father, for the hearts and lives that you've touched already today, Father. Lord, we just ask that you just help us to continue just to allow your Spirit to permeate every single cell of our bodies, that our lives would reflect you when we're outside these walls, so that, Lord, you would draw men, women, boys, girls from the north, the south, the east, the west, wherever we are, that you would draw them to your presence, Father. And we thank you that you allow us to be part of that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, I've titled my message this morning, Share the Gospel with a Kiss. I was telling Dave this morning, I said, Dave, you didn't know that I was titling my, in fact, I was battling with whether I was going to share this message or another message, but I've always got three or four of them in the writing and in the making, and it was a battlefield in my heart and in my mind, trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit was telling me. And when we came in Thursday night for worship service, we had that song that said, what were the words? Something about a kiss. And I said, yes, praise God. And then we come in this morning and we're in the midst of things and God starts sharing with people to share their testimony. I said, praise God. Now I know 100% I heard right. So I titled my message this morning, Share the Gospel with a Kiss. How many of you ever been in the workplace and heard that term, kiss? Keep it simple.
Silly.
Saint. Keep it simple, saint. And that's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth here in the second chapter. He was... we're having fun with this one. That's good. He was telling them, I didn't come trying to, you know, with all these speeches that sound flowery and all the, you know, enticing you and making it seem like God is something that he's not. He's saying, I came in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about here for weeks. The demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the change in us. Amen. I can't change a thing. I could preach for years and years and years and never affect you a bit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it effectual. Amen? In about the late 1960s, early 1970s, a man by the name of Kelly Johnson was the lead engineer at Lockheed. He was working on the skunk plane, is what they call it, the skunk works, the S-71 spy plane, and they were having loads of issues. And so Kelly, he starts, he's given the task of getting all these parts working and everything, and he just stops and he says, okay, we are trying to do this too difficult. So even though the concept of keep it simple was already in place before him, he just kind of solidified it, and he started putting it into everything that they did. And within 2 years, the S-71 spy plane was suddenly operable. Now, how does that relate to how we share our testimony? How does it relate to how we share the gospel with anybody? Well, the problem that we always have, and tell me if you haven't run into this, is we start to share the gospel and the unknowledged, the unlearned, start telling us all about all the doctrines that they've ever heard. And why they don't believe this, or why they don't believe that, and why this isn't true, why that isn't true. Well, of course they don't understand, because they're not trying to keep it simple. We're not trying to keep it simple. You know, we want to argue over this doctrine or that doctrine. But if we just keep it simple, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's all they need to know. And the easiest way to share that is with what? Starts with a T. Testimony. My testimony. You see, I can share my testimony. You can share your testimony, and they'll listen. Because this is experiential, what God did for me. There's no doctrine involved in it. When I got saved, I got saved. It's as simple as that. But we always want to try to, you know, get in these little spats about with this part of it being true or that part of it being true. This preacher's saying this, this preacher's saying that. Don't do any of that. Keep it simple, saint. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Share your testimony. It's so easy, and we can do it so simply. I've had people tell me, well, brother, you just don't understand. I can't talk to people. I can't share the gospel with anybody because I don't remember it all. Well, here's the thing. You don't need to remember it all. If you just know one scripture, John 3:16 and 17, you got it down. Now, you know, you can add other scriptures to it. You can go into Romans, you can memorize the entire Roman road to salvation. And that's okay. As long as you keep it simple. We don't need to get into doctrinal issues with everyone. When we share the gospel, we want to be simple. In fact, the word gospel in the Greek, is it up there? There we go. The word gospel in the Greek is the word euangelion, and it means a good message that is the gospel. A good message, that is the gospel, or gospel, amen? It's very simple. We're not trying to make theologians out of the unsaved. That comes later down the road when they get discipled, amen? They got to get saved first. Paul goes on down into verse 14, and he says this, and this is why we keep it simple. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Does that make sense now when we think about people that we've told about Jesus and how they think it's foolishness? Of course it's foolishness. And Paul tells us why. Right here he says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, when we go past the simplicity of the gospel, of the blood of Jesus Christ, with those who were unsaved, they have no concept because they are spiritually discerned. They can't understand it because they're looking at it in a worldly fashion. And you have to look at the Word of God in a spiritual fashion. The Holy Spirit brings these things out. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Now, He may use individuals around us to do that. That's, you know, part of sharpening each other. Iron sharpens iron. That's part of the discipleship process, is the learning process. But if we're not saved, it's like water on a duck's back. And how many of you know a duck don't get wet? A duck just don't get wet. The water just rolls right on off. Why? Because that's the way God made ducks. And the thing of it is, because of our lack of spiritual understanding, that's the way the gospel, or that's the way the theological side of the things in the scripture do to us. They just roll right on off because we can't understand, because the Holy Spirit hasn't indwelled us. And if the Holy Spirit hasn't indwelled us, scripture tells us right here, we cannot understand. So when we go beyond that, we're really hindering what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. They are spiritually discerned. Romans 3:23, easy scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of you can memorize that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there's no one out there that is worse at memorization than me. So, if I can memorize it, you can memorize it. Amen? Amen. It's a very easy thing. And in fact, you don't have to tell a sinner he's a sinner. Think back before you accepted Christ as your Savior. Did you need anyone to tell you that you were a sinner? I know I didn't. I didn't need anyone to tell me I was a sinner, because I already knew. I just didn't know how to get those sins washed away. It took someone telling me how I could get my sins washed away and be set free from the bondage of that. And that's all we need to do. Demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. And allow that to the Holy Spirit to do the work. When we take it further than that, we're actually trying to do the work. And if we're trying to do the work, it's probably not going to work very well. Amen? To keep the gospel simple, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, but confession is made to salvation. Now, this is a very misunderstood scripture, just so you know. Because it says in verse 9, back that up to verse 9, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus You see that word Lord? That means submission. That means I'm surrendering to Him. That means that I'm giving it to Him. I'm no longer going to be my own king. He's now my king. Amen? Amen? So when somebody says, well, you mean all I got to do is say, Jesus is Lord and I'm saved? Well, not really. That's just the first part. You got to believe in your heart. But you also have to allow Him to be Lord. You can mouth it all you want, but if you don't allow Him to make those changes, guess what? Nothing's changed. You can get baptized 100 times, but guess what? All you've done is get wet if there's no change. Amen? But if we keep the gospel simple, it makes it easy on us. It makes it real easy on me because I don't have to go through some kind of a theological debate with someone because they can't understand it anyway. And I don't have to try to remember all the little details. I don't have to have a doctorate degree to lead someone to Christ. But neither can I allow the fear of the enemy to stop me. Because that's really what it is. The enemy's trying to stop you. The enemy's trying to step in and say, oh, you can't do that. You don't know enough to do that. You only need to know a little bit. And that's what Jesus did for you. You don't even need to know any of the scriptures. You don't need to know the addresses. My wife will tell you, if you ask her, I'm real good at quoting the scriptures. But I'm not so good at finding the addresses. I usually have to look it up. I know what it says, but trying to figure out where it says it sometimes is not my strong point. So we don't need all that. All we need is the simplicity of the gospel. In Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, all three of them, the one of the last words of Jesus is go and share the gospel. That's the mission that He's given us. That's the thing that He's left us to do. Now, I don't know about anybody else. Sometimes I wonder, and don't anybody stone me now. Sometimes I wonder just how wise God is. Because He left this responsibility to us. Amen? In other words, He has faith in you. We have faith in Him, but He has faith in you to carry out the mission that He's left you. But we got to keep it simple. We got to keep it simple. Forget all those debates. Forget all those things it's okay if we want to sit around the coffee table with someone who's saved and is confessing Jesus as their Lord to talk about doctrinal issues. That's okay. It's even okay to talk with those who don't believe like we do. It's okay, as long as we don't allow it to deteriorate into an argument, okay? It's okay. But for those who are unsaved, for those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, we got to keep it simple. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to come in the demonstration of the power. I've been talking about the power for weeks, and it's the power that makes the difference. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that as we allow it to flow out, will cause those around us to see the difference. And they'll want to know. They'll want to know. Amen? They'll want to know what is different with you. Romans 10, verse 13 through 15. We just read 9 and 10. You drop down a little bit further and it says, "For how will they hear unless someone is sent?" The exact, "For whosoever shall," that's 13. Let me get it exactly because I'll mess it up. How then, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" That's the first part of it. How shall they call on them who have not believed? You see, if I don't believe, I'm not going to call on God. I'm not going to call on Jesus. Amen? Anybody here did before they believed? I know I didn't. Not unless I was in trouble. I said, "Oh God, get me out of this." But I didn't mean it. It was just, you know, God's like that genie in the bottle. You're going, "Oh, come on, God, please, please." But if I don't believe, I won't be able to call on him. But it goes further than that. How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? If they've never heard, how are they going to know to believe? If they've never heard that the blood of Jesus can set me free from the chains of sin and bondage, how are they going to believe? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear, oh boy, without a preacher? Now, don't anyone start saying, "Well, I'm not a preacher, so I don't have to do this." No, the word preacher in the Greek just means proclaim. It doesn't mean standing up here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or any other night and preaching like I'm preaching. It just means someone who proclaims the gospel, okay? So we can all do it. I want everyone to raise your hand. Come on, everybody, raise your hand. Say, I can do this. All right, I can do this. It's very simple. I can do it. Anyone can do it. I love it when I hear the little children start talking about the gospel. And, you know, they're just so innocent. And they haven't been scarred by all the garbage that we have. And they just talk about the love of Jesus and how the blood of Jesus can set you free. And it's just like, oh, yes, stay that way. You know, people talk about individuals who have a powerful testimony. And you listen. And the part of the reason I never share much of my testimony is because I want to give no glory to where I was. But someone who can stand up in their 20s, 30s, 40s and say, "I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever the case is, and I've never walked away from Him." Now that's a testimony. That's a testimony of the goodness of God. That's the testimony of the saving power of my Savior. That's the testimony that causes you to want to stay there. Amen? That's the best testimony. All that gory stuff we went through, that's not a very good testimony. Just shows my weakness. And last but not least, I mentioned it earlier, John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He isn't sitting here to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. Doesn't that excite you? God didn't send Jesus to look down on me and condemn me and tell me what a rotten person I am. He sent Jesus to say, let me lift you up to my place. Let me put your feet on a solid rock. Let me wash those sins away and allow you to spend eternity with me. That is the most awesome thing about God. The God who created this entire universe, the God who spoke it into existence, the God who took Adam and grabbed a handful of dirt and started fashioning it and forming it and looked at him and then went, whew. And Adam became a living being. That same God wants to spend eternity with me. With me. And with you. That's the whole reason he sent Jesus. It wasn't to condemn us. And when we realize that, it should cause us to want to share that with everyone we come in contact with. Because it's so simple. And because it's so simple, it's so easy to do. Oh, but we just let fear get the best of us. We let fear just say, well, they're not ready. You can't do. Where's fear come from? The enemy. Has God given us the spirit of fear? No. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love. And of a sound mind. Amen? I like the fact that he gave us the spirit of power. The power to overcome the enemy. The power to tell the enemy he's a liar. The power to stand up and say, nope, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to share the blood of Jesus because this person needs it. But if we just keep it simple, if we just stay to the basic thing and don't allow ourselves to get caught up in that trap because they can't understand it anyway, so it doesn't do a bit of good because those things are spiritually discerned, as Paul said. And they're spiritually discerned only through allowing the Holy Spirit in to open up their eyes, to let them see the glory of God. Then I can start understanding the power of God. Amen? So next time we're out there and the devil tells us, oh, you know, you're not quite good enough. You don't know enough. Tell them, hogwash, devil, get out of here. I'm going to do this. I've memorized John 3:16-17. Simple as that. And share our testimony. Man, what God did for me. I can share that and allow them to see that I'm a real person and I needed the Savior to get me out of the mess I was in. But we got to keep it simple. Share the gospel with a kiss. Keep it simple, saint. Amen? Aren't you glad I didn't use the other word?